I'm Logan.
And I'm Ryan.
And this is Automatic for the People. It's automatic, it's automatic, it's automatic. Hey everybody, welcome back to Automatic for the People, a preacher podcast. Finally, it's back.
Yeah, I was super excited, which maybe might have been my downfall. But it was still pretty good, but I may have, you know, overhyped myself for the return of Preacher.
Now you know how I felt when I watched Guardians of the Galaxy. Actually, before we make it a Preacher podcast, we can make it a Game of Thrones podcast for 5 or 10 minutes.
If you want to. I'm on season 2, episode 8, so I've got 8, 9, and 10 to watch. The Dragon Queen just lost her dragons. They were taken from her.
Oh, by the bank or whatever?
By the richest guy in wherever.
Yeah, he has all those slaves that are cut, right?
I don't know. I didn't really pay attention to that. I guess I get lost in some of the episodes. Like I miss what they're saying because I start thinking about other stuff and then I'm like, dang, I just missed that whole conversation. But the good thing about the show after watching season one is if you do miss something important, it stays important. So you're like, oh, that's what I missed. So
yeah, they kind of go out of their way to make sure that, hey, remember this thing? So.
Well, it helps me a lot, so.
You know, the previous Leones, I think, were pretty good about kind of not broadcasting what was coming, but at least reminding you of, like, hey, you might want to remember this thing because it's going to be important in this episode.
I don't have any of those. On what I'm watching. So.
Sucks for you.
Yeah, it's all just. So I'm trying to keep the shows at a minimum right now, which luckily, you know, we're at that time of the year where shows are at a minimum. So.
Yeah, summer makes it really kind of easy to binge watch stuff because instead of watching like the two, three hours of TV of new shows that you want to watch, you can kind of like, well, I'm going to watch 4 episodes of this. And the shorter cable seasons, it's like, oh, I'm done in 3 days. So
yeah, that is one thing I really do love.
But I guess Ryan got company and just cut himself off.
Oh yeah, sorry. You I know, forgot what I was saying.
You were saying, that's one thing I really do love, and then just went away from the conversation.
Oh, the short seasons, it really, like you said, it makes it easy to binge watch.
I think you're a little overly concerned about people interrupting the podcast at this point. If people are still listening to us, it's because they want to listen to us. They're not going to be like, man, they're so unprofessional. Like, the days of where we had everybody listening to us because we were the only Mr. Robot podcast and being like, well, I guess this is all we got. They're gone. So we're definitely not the only Preacher podcast. We're not the only Legion podcast. And we really don't even have ourselves advertised as that in iTunes. So it still says we're primarily a Mr. Robot podcast, so, which I guess we are. We just like to do stuff in the off season.
So, I mean, that's what makes it fun.
Do you have a favorite character on Game of Thrones at this point?
Well, I mean, Tyrion's obviously in the lead.
Man, you're going to be so upset when he dies. See, you don't know if I'm kidding or not.
Well, I mean, I can look it up, and it'll tell me how many episodes he's been in.
That's cheating.
Well, I mean, I've kind of did that on accident a few times already, because I'm like, who is that guy?
Oh, he was in 6 episodes. Well, he'll be dead soon. doesn't matter, he's gonna die.
Like, oh, is that Danny Rand? Let me check. The internet ruins everything. But I can say this, my power was just out for 2 hours, and without the internet, I don't have anything.
Yeah, life kind of sucks, man, when you don't have the internet. So, it makes you wonder, like, what kind of person would you be if you had been born 125 years ago? I mean, I know you wouldn't grow up with those things.
See, but if I was going to pick a time to be born, it wouldn't be 125
years
ago.
That's the point. So, but, like, even 60 years ago, like, there were things. You could go to the movies, you know. You had electricity. 125 years ago, what are you going to do?
Not get on the internet.
I mean, go feed the pigs, ride a horse. Like, none of that stuff sounds like, I think fun was not something in an adult's vocabulary until, like, at least a quarter of the way into the 20th century, you know? I mean, childish kind of fun. I guess fun, like, oh, I'm going to go out and get drunk and, you know, stuff like that. I guess that existed. Although at some point there was prohibition, so, you know, you had that. But 125 years ago, man, like, what are you going to do? You know?
I don't know. It does make you wonder.
Skip stones?
Hey, I used to do that. It wasn't even 125 years ago.
You didn't do it all day. You didn't do it for 3 or 4 hours.
No.
Well, yeah, it just... Like, okay, so since we talk about Back to the Future a lot, especially when we're talking about Mr. Robot, you're Doc Brown, or you're Marty McFly, and you're in a time machine, and you wind up in the Old West. You get stuck there. No, you wouldn't. You get stuck there, what are you going to do?
Figure out what I'm good at, first of all.
What are you good at?
Well, things were a lot simpler back then. I could probably be good at fixing stuff. Because I'm good at figuring stuff out. Yeah. As long as I have visuals.
But figuring stuff out is like, I'm going to go shoe this horse, and it's going to kick me, and I'm going to be brain damaged.
No, but I would have figured out a better way to shoe the horse.
I figured they probably perfected that, you know, relatively early on in the process.
Well, then, a better way would be like, hey, how much can I pay you to go shoe this horse for me?
See, that's the thing. I think that I would have found a way to be a middleman in some process where I'm not having to actually do any work, but I get other people to do work. You know what I mean? Or do things. Not criminal, necessarily, but...
No, I know exactly what you mean. I watch a lot of Discovery ID Channel, and I don't remember what episode of what series it was because they all kind of run together. But there was a episode of this series about a guy who got killed, and they talked about him as a child. And he basically would go get all these clients for yard work. And then he would hire out the neighborhood kids to go do the yard work and then just collect. They would use his stuff, but he would collect the money and then pay them a portion of it. So he was doing no work at all.
Yeah, I mean, it's genius.
So that's what you're talking about. Yeah.
I figured that's kind of where I would wind up. You know, also miserable because it would be hot, or miserable because it would be too cold, depending on, I guess, where I lived. I mean, let's face it, we still live in the South. We'd probably be indentured servants on somebody's farm. So, and, you know, we'd have been miserable. We'd have probably been a lot thinner, but we'd have been miserable.
I don't know. I watch watching Game of Thrones here. I kind of wonder how that one guy stays so fat.
This is like the Hurley thing on Lost, man. Like, the dude's a portly actor. I don't really see the need to explain why he weighs what he weighs, you know? So,
I don't either. It's just kind of looking at him, you're like,
yeah, you're,
you wound up here, and which on, I'm only on the two wall. Seasons in, so.
Well, it's not like Hurley. You don't find out that he, like, at least I don't think you do, that he was, like, stashing food somewhere or something. You know, Hurley, you find out that there's this, like, food drop that keeps coming to the island, and he discovered it, so he just hoards all the food.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was one of the more disappointing episodes of Lost. I'm like, really? Like, you can't... all the weird stuff, like Locke is in a wheelchair and he wakes up when the plane crashes and he can walk. But we got to worry about why Hurley is still overweight. Come on, man. You know, it's a lot. There's a smoke monster killing people. It's a lot more stranger stuff than, like, why is the fat guy still fat?
Now, see, I remember him getting out, waking up, not being in the wheelchair. Was the food thing in season one, too?
Oh, no, it's in, like, season three.
Oh, okay, so, yeah, I
think I made it. In season two, you find out about the other, the tail survivers. So,
yeah, I think so it's in season two. Yeah, I made it to season three, so.
Yeah, I think it's in season three, because he winds up becoming friends with the chick that used to be on that show, Titus, with the blonde hair.
I love Titus.
Me too, man. I miss that show. I need to get those. I used to have that DVD. I gave it to our idiot mom's ex-boyfriend. Or our mom's idiot ex-boyfriend. However you want to phrase it. Hope she doesn't figure out how to listen to a podcast.
I don't know how we went from wherever we were all the way to Titus.
I mean, it's pretty easy. That's
a long hole to fall down. And we only took like four jumps.
Okay, so I guess let's talk about some Preacher. I'm debating on, I think last year I used the music I used for our old Preacher podcast that Tim and I had instead of the regular music for this podcast, but I think I'm going to use both of them. Like, I'm going to use our intro, and then we'll jump to Preacher, and I'll use the Preacher music that I used to use.
Is it the Preacher intro? Because I love that.
No, it's not. It's the Time of the Preacher song.
It's the time of the preacher. In the year of 01. Now the lesson is over. And the killing's begun.
I love the Preacher music. The intro, it's great.
Me too, but it's just music, and I really, really, I wish they had used Time of the Preacher as the intro and not just the song, the very first song in the first episode, because it's such a good song, and it's so short anyway. It's like a minute and a half long, and it's so perfect. So, anyway, so you probably heard that music too, so let's talk about Preacher Season 3, Episode 1, Angelville. So you get to meet Jesse's family. Not what you were expecting. Although you've already met TC and Jody very briefly, because they're the ones that killed Jesse's father. Or Jody is specifically. I'm curious if they used the same actors. I can't say it wasn't what I was expecting. So I meant to look that up. Sorry, I cut you off.
Oh, no. I mean, I kind of got the feeling that they were kind of evil from us talking last year about it, so.
Yeah, and you meet his grandmother.
And his mom, right?
Yeah, but I think we've seen glimpses of her before. So, and we've actually seen his grandmother before. We saw her at the end of last season, I think, maybe. Maybe in shadow. So, or like they allude to it or something. Because that's where he dumps the Sainted Killer's body, in that swamp.
Right.
Because you saw that sign that said Angelville.
Yeah.
Betty Buckley, who plays his grandmother, is terrifying. So, I mean, she's one of those actresses that has shown up in, like, every show. Like, if you look at her IMDb page, she's been in everything. But it's kind of funny. The first thing she was ever in was Carrie in 1976. So it's like she should be the perfect choice for this. I mean, she wasn't, I don't think she was, I think she was like a teacher or something in Carrie. It's been a long time since I've seen it. But it just seems like a perfect circle. You know what I mean? Not that, you know, her career is going to end. I don't think she's that old. Yeah, she's like 51. So, God, they make her look like she's really old. 83, yeah. Man. That's great. So, and she looks old in the flashback. So, yeah. But yeah, I thought she was freaking awesome.
I don't know what your favorite stuff in the episode was, but the background of not every scene, but what's going on in the background of a lot of scenes in this episode was my favorite stuff.
My favorite scene in the episode, or my favorite moment, I should say, in the episode is probably...
The truck?
The truck's great. There's a lot of really funny stuff in this episode while everything is so damn dark, but Cass like lifting his head up and like, that's your grandma, and it just knocks him back out. I love that, man.
Yeah, I thought that was fantastic all three times I saw it.
And also like just the image of Tulip and her dad and the very young child Tulip like shooting out the window. I thought that looked phenomenal.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but it really took me back to the first time I watched Oliver Stone. God, what's the name
Natural
of
Natural Born Killers.
Natural Born Killers.
Yeah.
And I know everybody gets tired of hearing me talk about Tarantino crap, but I mean, it took me straight to that movie.
But I'm pretty sure for a good while, Tarantino was one of the, like, oh, he should make this movie.
Oh, it would have been good to get off of Preacher for a second since I jumped on that train. He has a new movie coming out.
Yeah, I've seen some images.
Yeah, it's got DiCaprio and...
looks interesting.
I can't remember his name now. Brad Pitt. I remember her name, can't remember his name.
It's got a bunch more people in it. Like, have you not looked at the cast list?
No, because I didn't want to... I tend to, like, ruin stuff, man.
I don't know.
See how that'll ruin anything either, but I want to watch the trailer of that and be like, oh my God.
So you don't want me to tell you who's in it?
Oh, no, you can. I don't care.
Margot Robbie, Leonardo DiCaprio, Brad Pitt, Dakota Fanning, Al Pacino, James Marsden, Kurt Russell, Timothy Oliphant, Damian Lewis, Burt Reynolds, Clifton Collins Jr., Emile Hirsch, Tim Roth, Luke Perry, Scoot McNairy. A lot of these guys, you might not recognize their name, but when they show up in a movie, you'll definitely recognize their faces. Michael Madsen, Zoe Bell, Nicholas Hammond. I think that's it. Yep. So.
Well, you know he said after 10 he was going to quit.
Yeah, we'll see. Also, Nicholas Hammond for anybody who doesn't know, is Spider-Man. So.
He's Spider-Man.
Yeah. The Amazing Spider-Man from 1977 to 1979.
Really?
Yeah. He's the guy that played Peter Parker. So that's what I'm like. You might not know their names.
So he's Peter Parker. He's not Spider-Man.
No, I think he wore the suit sometimes. So I
yeah,
think
probably. I've got the episodes. But.
I think it was the voice of Spider-Man in something, too. Like one of the
was episodes. It the Reading Rainbow series?
No. And it wasn't Reading Rainbow. It was Electric Company.
Oh, whatever.
You're confusing Morgan Freeman with Geordi from Star Trek The Next Generation. Not all black people are the same, Ryan.
Yeah, we... Never mind.
Yeah, anyway. Back to Preacher. Since we went down another rabbit hole. You just don't want to talk about the episode because you didn't like it.
No, I did like it. It was just... It was kind of anticlimactic for me.
Bringing somebody back from the dead is anticlimactic for you?
Because I knew she was coming back.
Yeah.
I'm glad she came back in this episode. Because I was starting to lean towards, if this drags on for two or three episodes, I'm going to be severely disappointed.
No. I could not see them doing that. I mean, it was an amazing way to end the season last year with just, well, Tulip's dead. But also as one of those annoying people who read the books, I knew she wasn't dead. I knew this was going to get us to Jesse's family. This is not the way it happens in the books at all. So can I spoil the books for you?
Yeah, I don't really have any plans on reading
them. You should read them. Everybody should read them. So spoilers for the Preacher comic book. If I remember correctly, what happens is that some way Jody and TC wind up running into Tulip and Jesse. Like, just, it's kind of random, I think. And they follow them and kidnap do they kidnap Jesse and Tulip or just Jesse? Something like that. Basically, they get them both back to Angelville. And I could be not remembering this right at all, but this is my recollection of it. They get them back to Angelville. They are trying to get Jesse to... Obviously, in this episode, you see that there's something that she wants from him. His grandmother.
Right.
But you don't really know what it is. And they're trying to convince him, basically, that... And also punish him because he, quote-unquote, left the family. As you can see, by, like, his mother getting on that bus and then getting the hell beat out of her. And then, you know, the way they treated Jesse when he came back. Leaving the family, not good. But, on the flip side of that, these are the only three people that are still there. So, you know, like, either the family, like, basically collapsed in on itself, or everybody left, which I think you find out eventually what happened. But yeah, so they get them back to the plantation and basically just kill Tulip in front of them. Like, just shoot her.
Oh, that's messed up.
Yeah. And leave them both, like, tied to a chair, like, in a room where he's just sitting there with his dead girlfriend's body. And eventually they take him, and I think they put him in the machine. And what happens is, instead of her coming back from the dead and seeing God, God brings her back from the dead.
Well, it was not that big of a change, but it is a flip on the book, I guess.
Well, there's this whole conversation between her and God that is more extensive than, like, no, it wasn't me. It was somebody else. And there's one thing I need you to do, and I'm going to make it vague, and you're going to get sucked back into the real world. So, you know, I understand the change because of the different approach they're doing with the show. Like, things are happening kind of out of order, and the first season was, like, an arc that comes later, but better works with the origin story, so you got to kind of fudge some stuff. So this is a way, instead of Jesse accidentally running into his family and then being like, oh, we found him, let's get him back, this was a way for him to have to be indebted to them and to further the plot, rather than have him be this guy who, you know, got jumped and tied up, you know.
Yeah, because it, what we saw him do in the first season as far as fighting is kind of, you know, I guess with the big dude and the other guy, they could both take him, but.
Oh, Jody could definitely take him. But see, that's why he's so tough, is because he grew up with Jody. You know, if that dude is beating your freaking tail every day or every other day, you grow up tough.
Yeah, I like the kind of subtle callback. I don't know how far they'll get into it, but, you know, when he jumps off the back of the truck and he's like, you know, I told you we had some catching up to do. And then he asks him, are you going to finally beat me today?
Yeah. Yeah. There's not really that much to talk about in the episode as far as, like, scene by scene. You know, there's a lot of fighting. You know,
well, I told you my favorite stuff was in the background. And when you see the old lady sitting in the chair and nothing's really going on, but it's supposed to be prominent, but it kind of makes it look like it's in the background. And they're just in the background fighting, throwing each other across the room. It's like, man, that's great.
Yeah, very reminiscent of the episode from season one where the angels kept respawning. And
yeah,
it was just that static shot of the camera through that, like, hole in the wall, and they just kept coming into the room, you know. Yeah, it was, I love the visual style of the show. I like that in this episode we get some background that doesn't feel forced as far as, like, his mom goes. That whole opening was just rough, man. Like, you feel, I mean, not that you wouldn't feel for anybody in that situation, but they're kind of leading you to believe that, like, oh, she's hiding a picture of Jesse's dad. And
I figured it was, like, where he was at or something.
Yeah. I honestly thought it was, like, is this going to be, like, the whole, like, oh, it's a picture of the guy I love kind of thing? I was like, I get it, but I was prepare myself to just be disappointed. And then, you know, she eats the picture, and then they hold her down and cut her open to take the picture out, which is some kind of voodoo in and of itself. I don't think the picture traveled that far that fast without having been damaged in some way. She opens, the old lady opens the picture, and it's a baby, and she's like, don't you hurt him, don't you hurt my Jesse. So at some point she had a kid and they didn't know about it.
That's what I was wondering too. That's why when she swallowed it, I was like, well, it couldn't have been a picture or something of a baby, because that's why I figured that's where it was, a letter from him or something, and that's where, well,
or even like an ultrasound picture, you know, like, but it's not an ultrasound picture, it's like a picture of a baby. So
I don't know, I don't get how she got away with having a baby and they didn't know about it. Like I said, that's why I figured they knew about it and she had been hiding him.
What do you think is up with the dude that wanders into the kitchen and is like, help me?
I don't know, that was,
And she's like, put him, you know, TC, I think it is, knocks him out. And she's like, put him back in there with the others.
He said, Weebles Wobbles, but he did fall down.
So, like, the others? Who are the others?
I thought about it, and maybe it's people they brought back that they're zombie-like. They're brought back from the dead. But they're too far gone, so...
Why keep them around?
I don't know. Maybe it's a voodoo thing. I don't know, but that's, I figured they were some kind of zombie type, which I hope we don't get all AMC's got enough zombies.
Yeah, so. No, I don't think that's going to happen. So,
maybe they're fallen angels.
That would be interesting. I like Jesse, when Jesse's trying to make a deal, he's like, I'll do whatever you want. He's like, I can pay you. And, TC,
he's like,
how much? $4,600,000. That ought to get us straight. And he's like, I got guns. And so I guess he accidentally shoots the rack, or maybe he's just, I could never tell if he accidentally shot or if he shot to get her attention or something. And TC's like, we're always looking for industrious Mexicans, Jesse, but
that was,
we got guns. And he's like, that was my swamp consomme. And then I think, like, it's visually the most interesting stuff is, of course, Jesse's plight through the episode, the stuff with Cass. Her feeding him that pepper, and she's like, nope, you got to feel the pain, which is interesting that he can, like, I guess it's not that he could never feel pain, but you would think, I mean, how hot is this damn pepper? So, but all that stuff is visually interesting, but the only meaningful stuff in the episode really is the stuff with Tulip. And I love that it's not given to us as a visually interesting. Not that it's boring, but it's done like a play rather than, you know, like we've seen hell in Preacher, and they have these devices that basically just give you some kind of holographic version that looks and feels extremely real. But she's in purgatory, which is the waiting room for heaven or hell or whatever. And it looks like a high school stage play. I love that.
Yeah, it kind of, you know, I told you, I did love it too. It took me back to Natural Born Killers. But
happens in Natural Born Killers too, right? Like when they go visit her parents, is that what it was?
Well, it's a kind of a flashback thing. They flashback to her meeting Woody Harrelson. He's like a butcher or something.
Yeah.
And they fall in love, and he shows up and kills her parents, or they both kill her parents. And run away together. So it's not the same, but the way it's done, as like you said, like a play or maybe like a TV episode with a live studio audience. It's like you said, it's not visually great, but
it's supposed to be minimalistic. Like it's staged well, but it's like watching a play, so it's not. It's to draw, it's so that you're focused on the performance and not the visuals of it, you know, because plays are all about performance. There can be, like, I saw Wicked at the Fox, like, visually it's amazing. Like, some of the stuff they do, I can't imagine seeing it on a giant stage on Broadway, where it's just like, holy crap, man. Like, all of the crazy stunt work and stuff, like Spider-Man, when they did that one, Turn Off the Dark. Like, I've heard, like, the stunt work's just incredible. And that's great, but the idea of a play in, like, these minimalist sets is so that you're focused on the performance, not like, you know, oh, hey, look at that painting in the background or some crap like that. So, you know, plus it's it's cheaper. So
you might hear some sirens.
Yeah, it's all right. So
probably a fire somewhere.
At this point, we're lucky we're even podcasting. So
yeah my power being out sucks. But anyway, back to Preacher. Yeah, I like the whole waiting room stuff, and like you said, it's really the only important part of the episode, other than getting to know maybe that relationship that Jesse has, a little bit of the relationship Jesse has with what's left of his family there. Not the big guy. You know their names.
TC and Jody. TC is the little one. Jody is the bigger one.
Yeah. Okay. Well, TC. He was funny.
Yeah. He's kind of...
That's the dude that knocked out Cass with the...
Yeah. Yeah. He made some kind of lewd remark about Jesse's grandmother. I forget what it was.
Yeah, he said she was ugly.
Yeah. And there's a lot, there are a few little moments that
the song, and it starts playing through the TV. That was great.
Yeah. Well, but what's like the important part of that is, and not that I'm saying they tried to gloss over it or that it wasn't obvious, is that Jesse tells Cass when he's like, go get these things to help us bring her back. He tells Cass to get
Joni Mitchell.
Dragon Force. He's like, Dragon Force? And he's like, yeah, it's a British heavy metal band. He's like, I know who Dragon Force is, but, like, you know, it should be Joni Mitchell. Like, she loves Joni Mitchell. And Jesse's like, yeah, are you going to sit here and try to tell me something that you think I don't know about the girl I've loved since I was a child or something like that? And Cass being Cass buys Joni Mitchell. And he's the one that plays it. And that's what brings her back.
Yeah, so, that does make me want to ask questions, but I'm not going to because I'm along for this ride.
Yeah. It's really interesting. And honestly, at the deviations the show takes, it may or may not be that important in the long run. I think it is. But I don't know. But she also, when she wakes up, she sees Jesse, and she's happy. But when she looks over and sees Cass, she has, like, a different kind of smile on her face. Like, there's a very obvious difference in the way she reacts to seeing them. So I think that's also very important. And again, that's not even coming from the books. I'm just pretty convinced that we're not done. Also, the episode, well, not opens, but kind of does start with Cass saying, oh, by the way, I had sex with your girlfriend. So, and that's what starts the fight.
Yeah, that's why
they
were fighting in the first place.
So, and I love that remark. Jesse makes about you going to tell me something I don't know. And Cassidy goes, yeah, if this doesn't save her, I'm going to kill you. you know, I love these two dudes who are so kind of had this bromance going on. And it's not
like kindred spirits.
And it's not, yeah. And it's not really that she is the one that's torn them apart. It's that Jesse's decisions and bias and like these things that he tries to push down, you know, like he loves Cass, but he also doesn't like what he is, you know? So it's a lot of stuff there that eventually I think they'll start digging into. So,
well, I mean, last season they really showed Jesse's selfishness, so I'm wondering how much more of that we're going to get in this season, because a lot of the stuff he did was really selfish last season.
Almost everything he does is self-centered and self-serving, so it's, you know, even though he does love his friends, he it's
so we got Tyrion Lannister going on.
Yeah, pretty much. The Jody scene where they get in the truck and go get the what was it called? Something foil.
I can't remember. I wanted to ask you about that too. Like, I think I know what they're saying, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, I forget what it is. So, also, Tulip likes Nico wafers. Ugh, come on, man.
That's what I said too. She wants candy.
Not even Smarties.
And she wants those. They're yeah. nasty.
I mean, it's like eating chalk. Anyway. What was I going to say? I don't remember.
Well, the fight between him and who is it?
Jody.
The big guy, Jody?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. I loved everything with them. The whole him sitting in the truck and the dude walks up to the window.
And he's like, "Do I know you?" He's like, "I don't know. You ever take confession? Something about the Blessed Virgin or something?" And he goes, "I don't know any Blessed Virgins, but I know this truck."
Jesse says, "Well, then I guess you don't know me."
Yeah.
That whole stuff was great. He's like, "I got it, let's go." And then when they fight though, and he picks up that truck, I was like, "Oh, how's he gonna get out of this?" And of course, it's something stupid. But I wanted to see him, you know, like just throw down, which that might be coming.
Okay, so.
You just want to talk about the book, huh?
Well, no, here's the thing. Like, in the book, because they killed Tulip, because they just leave him in that room with her dead body and then put him in the machine, which we've already seen a bit of, and I'm sure we'll see more of, there's this whole revenge aspect. Like, it's hard for you. It's easy to be empathetic about both of their pasts, but because you've only seen their version, not that their version is wrong, but you've only seen their version and their story of it. So it's hard to be, like, it's hard to get on their side as far as like you just want to be like, just let it go, you know, like just let your past go and get away from these people, but. Like, when they kill Tulip in the books and all that stuff happens, it's very, very easy to just be like, I cannot wait for him to kill every single one of these assholes. Like, I just, you know, it's so much easier. And I don't know how easy it's going to be with them not being responsible for that. You know what I mean? So, because it, like, okay, your dad's been dead a long time, man. I'm really sorry. Your mom's been dead a long time, man. I'm really sorry. Maybe you should just find a way to get away from these people and never, ever, ever, ever come anywhere near Louisiana again. Just don't do it. You know, it makes you wonder, like, is part of him, like, drawn to that? Because he's the one that took them to Louisiana.
Like, well...
He knows that they're there.
It started with the Saint of Killers.
Well, no, the reason they wind up in Louisiana is because the search for God.
Well, I understand that, but he had to get rid of that the Saint of Killers, which led him closer to his family, which ultimately is going to lead him right. Back to his family. It's like taking baby steps.
Yeah, and he just winds up.
So yeah, the search for God, I guess it starts there, and then.
But yeah, it's kind of frustrating from that point of view. Like, not that I'm not gonna enjoy whenever, whatever they decide happens to these characters, which I'm sure will involve Jesse getting revenge for his dad and his mom. You know, I'm sure that that's what's coming. But I don't think it's going to be as satisfying as, you know, and that makes me sound sadistic, you know. It would just be like if in Death Wish you found out, like, the movie opened with, like, 25 years later, Charles Bronson still brooding about what happened to his daughter. Yes, it's horrible, man. Like, yes, they all deserve to die.
Yeah, but you gotta get over it.
But at some point, like, you should have let this go, you know? It's weird because, like, that's like the opposite of, like, the Punisher aspect. Like, you're still kind of rooting for him to take out all these mobsters and bad guys and whatever. And even though, like, his family's been dead for 15 years. And you're like, yeah, still go out there and get them, man. But what people don't, well, what most people wouldn't admit about the Punisher is that you're there for the violence. You know, you're not really there for the personal, you know, aspect of it. Like, you have no investment in his wife and his children. So
yeah, that's kind of what made the, since you brought up the Punisher, the Warzone movie. Yeah. It's kind of what made it fun was it was just like, hey, how can we blow people up and kill people in a ridiculous comic booky kind of way and still kind of have a story that you can follow?
Yeah. You haven't watched the Punisher Netflix series.
No, not yet.
Well, what's interesting there is he's not the, like, he is the, he's the gun. He's the weapon. Like, he's the violence. He, like, that's what he's there for. He's not the emotional center of that. And you need an emotional center. They use another character to become the emotional center of everything. And it really, really works. Enough that I'm nervous for season two. So, that, like, 13 episodes of this dude just going around murdering people might be a little much. Like, at some point, you're just like, well, you killed everybody that was involved, man. You know? Like, you've blown up every person that has ever wronged you. And
that might forever be the downfall of a Punisher-type movie series or TV series, is eventually it's, you caught them. I mean, stop killing everybody.
And, unless you do it a la Man on Fire. You know, where he's like, oh, he gets close to some, but that gets old after two seasons, you know? Like, so stop getting close to people, dude. Every person you come in contact with
right.
and have any kind of emotional connection to, they wind up dead, and then you got to kill all those people, too. So, you know, it's, but yeah, I say that to point out the fact that, like, Jesse getting revenge on his family is going to feel a lot less satisfying, because ultimately everything that's led him to this is all his fault. It's his fault that Tulip died. So he's the one that had to bring her back. Whereas in the books, it's not necessarily his fault. And God bringing her back kind of leads to this whole interesting, like, so God's gone, but not necessarily absent, or doesn't necessarily, it's not that he doesn't know what's going on, which is here and that, you know, God shows up as she's coming back and, you know, says that she has work left to do. So, you know, it's, all in all, it was a decent first episode. Visually, very, very well done. The action is fantastic. The humor is definitely there. But the emotional center of it is Tulip, and I honestly don't think we got enough of that.
That's what I thought, too. After I watched it the first time and I went to rewatch it, thinking about it before I watched it, all I really thought about was the Tulip stuff. And the second time I watched it is when the stuff with the big guy.
Jody. How can you not remember? We have an aunt named Jody.
Okay, that's my connection right there. Now I won't forget it. And now I forgot where I was going.
That's when you started kind of noticing how interesting that stuff was. Maybe not emotionally interesting, or even necessarily that interesting to the plot, but it was fun to watch. Because, honestly, we already knew that he had a bad relationship with these people. We already knew that they killed his dad. We already knew things went south with his mom. We already knew all of this stuff. You know, it was alluded to, but if you were paying attention, you could have put those pieces together.
Yeah, that's why them being so dark and wasn't... I mean, I don't think it was meant to be a surprise, but I wasn't like, ooh, they're worse than I thought. Because, no, that's, like, exactly what I thought.
Right. Of course she's a witch doctor. She lives on a plantation in Louisiana, you know?
With deep, deep roots... at where they're at. So, yeah. I mean, she's been around for a while.
Maybe deeper than you know.
yeah, I'm sure.
but yeah, a solid first outing that basically does everything you need it to do to continue the season. Like, it sets up what you need it to set up. You know, Tulip is alive. He's indebted to these people that he hates, you know. Cass is kind of just there for the ride, which another interesting aspect of the comics was at some point they're separated. Like, Cass goes off to do his own thing, and that's how they wind up being caught by his family. So they have these separate storylines that wind up re-emerging back into each other. So, but... There's a lot of where is X as far as this episode is concerned. I know it needed to be focused on how we get Tulip back, meeting Jesse's family, but like, there's a lot of plot lines that are like, well, what's going to happen with the church that he was involved? Because he just like bailed on those people.
Yeah,
like,
oh, I know. Gotta go. The whole episode, I was kind of like, there's... just a couple of things missing here that I wish were there, and that's exactly... I said
the
church,
but the Grail is their name, but still, yeah. And where's the Saint of Killers? Like, what's up with him? You know, where the hell is Eugene and Hitler? You know? Hitler?
Yeah, I think if I would have got them two in the episode... that would have gave me a little bit of satisfaction that I was looking for, and I might be more content at, you know, what the episode was. But I just feel like there was just something missing.
Well, I don't know. I agree with you, but I don't know that adding any of those aspects to this helps this episode.
No, it would have just brought up a lot more questions. Like, okay, you just showed me like 5 minutes of something, and now I got to wait a whole week. Maybe get 5 more minutes of it.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It's weird. Still, like, I'm not dissing the episode. Like, there are things that I'm a little disappointed in. But the aspect of, like, Tulip dying and what was going to happen, I knew I was going to be disappointed because of the way it happened last season. It's like, well, that's... I think I brought it up. That's not the way it happens in the books. And, like, I wish they had stuck to that. But I also see... why they didn't. So, yeah, there's that. Also, Hot Toys has some amazing preacher figures coming out.
I know. I hate that website.
Yeah. I mean, oh my God, dude.
I wish I did that. That's what I wish I did for a living. Is
I could never be rich because I would still be broke because I would just be buying that crap all the time.
But if I did it for a living, I would have the prototypes. I mean,
yeah, I guess so. I'm not that artistically minded. I'm not at all artistically minded in that way. So.
I love those people that do the custom figures that do really good work.
Yeah.
That's some of the best stuff in the world, which ultimately turns it into any kind of figure into a statue. Like, we discussed this before, not on the podcast, but. But the amount of time that they spend working on those things, it's incredible.
But he could not forgive her. Though he tried and tried to try. And the halls of his memory still echo her life.
Sorry, I just got a weird message from somebody. Like, I don't know this person, so.
Have you checked on the kids?
Well, I don't have any. So, actually, I'm in one of those Facebook comic book groups and buy-sell groups, and I'm looking for an X-Men 101, and somebody who I don't know sent me a message saying, I have one that I'm looking to sell.
Oh, well, there's a plus.
Yeah. That's the only 3-digit issue I'm missing. Everything else is under 100. Actually, everything else is under, like, well, no, I think I have 190-something issue I'm missing. So, anyway. So, there you go. I think that's all I got on Preacher, man. I don't...
Yeah, I did, like, I'm with you. I enjoyed the episode, maybe a little bit less than you. It just makes me... I mean, I watched it 3 freaking times, and after the 3rd time, I was like, why can't you be on Netflix so I can watch every episode?
I would just blow through it, though. I wouldn't be able to really enjoy it. So.
Yeah, there is that nice little...
I get to watch every episode at least twice, you know, because I'm forcing myself to watch it and podcast about it, so...
Yeah, if it was all at once, we would be on here for an hour and a half and miss a lot of the good detailed stuff that isn't part of the major plot, but, you know, nice background detail stuff that goes on that makes actually this show one of the best shows that we watch. Yeah. Because they're really good at that.
Yeah, and we're gonna have to do something. I mean, we've got several episodes to figure it out, but like we may or may not do American Gods, but it's looking more and more likely that show's not gonna start airing until 2019.
That's what I thought. That. Yeah.
And it's looking more and more likely that season 4 of Mr. Robot. Is it going to come until 2019 as well? We could get fortunate and American Gods season 2 will air at the same time. And then it won't be like, well, we talked about season 1. I guess we'll talk about season 2. I might still watch it, but, you know, and mention it in passing. But we can just be like, well, F that show. So.
That it reminds me so much of that Between show. It's like hate watching something. Just, yeah. And I don't do that. So. I mean, I kind of do it with Gotham, but I don't really hate everything in Gotham.
No.
I like a lot of the characters. The Penguin's good. The Joker's good. I mean, Mr. Freeze is terrible. Like, you ruined one of my favorite Batman villains. Y'all have ruined it.
I don't understand how... Okay.
Twice you've ruined it.
I mean, yeah. For sure, because the animated version in the Batman animated series of Mr. Freeze is one of the greatest character arcs of all time. Like, it is just, you cannot feel good about anybody taking that dude down. And yeah, all the other versions are tied to, like, oh, his wife, Nora, and he's doing it for her. But somehow they just can't get the melancholy. Like, they make him too happy, you know? And not, or not happy, but too kind of like mentally unstable. And in the animated series, which is for my money, the definitive version of that character. He's just, he's not, it's not that he's unstable. It's that he's doing everything he has to do to even try to keep himself and his wife alive. Like, that's all it's about, you know? It's not even like, oh, he had a bad day and snapped. It's not even that he snapped. It's like, no, I'm going to die, she's going to die. If I die, she dies. You know, and it's so damn tragic. You know, it's kind of what made, like, Spider-Man 2 really, really work, is how great they handled the Doc Ock story. You know, he does snap and become mentally unstable, but there's a reason for that. But they make it so tragic that you just feel for the guy, you know. And they cannot get that right with Batman and Mr. Freeze. I don't know why. I'm off my soapbox.
Nope, I stand on the same soapbox, because when I watched the, I guess it was direct-to-DVD movie, Batman and Mr. Freeze.
Sub-Zero?
Yeah, Sub-Zero. He instantly became, like, one of my favorite Batman villains because of, it wasn't just about, you know, the Joker being crazy or, you know, Two-Face being just as crazy, if not crazier, or, you know, those kind of villains where they're always looking to do something bad. He wasn't necessarily looking to do anything bad.
So, to change it back to Mr. Robot, apparently production doesn't start until November. So it will be like April before we see season 4.
Awesome.
So
we'll find something to podcast about.
That's just such a bummer, man.
Too bad Cloak and Dagger didn't come a little bit later.
Yeah. Which, you're still watching that?
Yeah, it's great.
It is really, really good. And
as we record, it comes on tonight.
Yeah.
I can't wait to watch it.
I'm enjoying it, but it's so slow. Like, it's just, it's not a superhero show. Which, in their defense, I don't think they sold it as a superhero show. So,
which I didn't see any of the promos really, but they're doing a really good job of being a superhero show without it being about them being superheroes right now, anyways.
Yeah, I kind of wish that there was a little bit more going on rather than just like the personal aspect of it, which there is, but that backstory is moving so slow that it's, I think by the time a lot of people are like, oh, wait, I mean, this last episode kind of brought that to the forefront with the murder of that dude. I won't spoil it for anybody, but I guess, well, murder of a dude doesn't sound too spoilery, but this guy gets killed and it's just like, oh, whoa, hey, something else is going on here. So, which, I mean, you kind of already had to get the feeling of, but at least brings it more to the forefront. So,
yeah, I'm enjoying it. It's Netflix has now just ruined everything for me. So,
this dude wants to sell me this book for $180. No, thank you.
Yeah, that's expensive. Is it an important issue?
First appearance of the Phoenix.
Oh. So
guess why? It's
pretty important.
It always goes for a lot of money, but you know why it's going for a lot of money right now?
The movie's about to come out.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, that'll take us back to Game of Thrones, because I don't like her at all in Game of Thrones.
Just wait.
Didn't like her when I saw her in the X-Men movie either. So maybe that's not helping with Game of Thrones.
Well, it's not her fault that that movie was terrible.
No, but I do like the idea of her being Phoenix because she kind of looks the part. If she can pull it off, great. Otherwise, we got another bad X-Men movie, which I like Days of Future Past, but, you know, I might be in this podcast, I'm in the...
Yeah.
But there's a lot of people I know that don't like that movie. And there's a lot of people I know that like terrible movies and think they're awesome that think that movie's fantastic. And I'm like, man, you're ruining my point of view on this movie because your opinion sucks.
Yeah. It drives me nuts when, like, I'll be talking to people at work about certain movies and how good they are. And they're like, yeah, man, I love that movie. And they're like, have you seen this movie? And I'm like, yeah, it was terrible. You didn't like that movie? It was amazing. And I'm like, oh, God. Like, please stop talking because I don't want to reevaluate my opinion on everything I've ever seen. You know, like TV. People I know where I connect with them on TV shows. And they're like, man, I love The Walking Dead or I love Gotham. And I'm like, oh, my God. Like, so you just like everything that you see. Like, there's nothing that you hate. Or you not hate, just don't like. Just go, yeah, that was bad. You know, I hate that. Like, don't make me reevaluate my opinion. I mean, it's good to have people like that because you should always, you know, think, well, was that really good? Or do I just like it because I had fun with it? But yeah.
Yeah, we're also the... standing in the Con Air section going, man, this movie's great. Y'all don't know what y'all are talking about.
That movie is great. Anybody that disses it doesn't know what they're talking about. Anyway, we'll be back next week talking about episode 2 of Preacher season 3. I am really, really on Tim to get caught up on last season. He never watched the finale and start watching this season. And join us at least for a few episodes of the podcast. So tweet at Timothay, TIM0THAY, and tell him, hey, man, get caught up on Preacher. Go be on the podcast. So
I'm just going to tweet him and say, hey, man, I heard you were going to be on the podcast next week.
Yeah, do it. That way it's out in public, so maybe he has to be like, what are you talking about? Kind of guilt him into it. So, and he doesn't listen to the show, so he'll never hear this. But in light of that, go check out our other show, The X-Wing Files, which is a Star Wars podcast that we do with our cousins, Jacob and Elizabeth. And we have a lot of fun with that. Jim Bob Jedi, the racist Gungan, is like, the funniest. Like, I have not stopped thinking about that. Go check that out. It's at thexwingfiles.com, which is where you can find this podcast. I keep saying it. Eventually, previous episodes of the podcast will be back up online, probably on a Patreon, which we're not going to – I'm not going to be looking to – gouge anybody. We've already got one and we kind of just let it go. But I'm thinking anybody that wants to support us, I don't know the address. I think it's patreon.com/automaticforthepeople. Basically what I'm going to do is for like $1 a month, you get access to the past episodes and, maybe we'll work on some kind of bonus content. I don't know. Or I might just put them up on the X-Wing Files thing. Just as like a special tier for like $1 or add them to the $1 a month tier on that where you get early access to the X-Wing Files and then the previous podcast we did for Automatic for the People. I don't know. But right now we're on patreon.com/X-Wing Files. You can tweet us at Mr. Robot Podcast. You can email us, Mr. Robot Podcast at gmail.com. I think that's about it. You can go rate us and review us on iTunes. That'd be awesome. I don't think we've had a new review in, well, a new review by somebody we weren't related to in a long time. So, no, Jacob sent a review, put up a review of the podcast. So, he's like, look. And I'm like, did you write that? Yeah. Like, that, thanks, man. But, like, you're related to us. Like, but whatever.
He doesn't even watch the shows we watch.
No, though, he just listens to us talk about it. Which is good, because he would hate Preacher.
Speaking of, well, not really related to Preacher, but I just saw a post that I can't stop laughing about. It's Left Behind action figures. It's just empty boxes.
But those weren't the people left behind then. Those are the people that got taken.
Yeah, I know, but it's funny. I'm not going to say what they say. So.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll be back next week. Until then, go check out all those other things. If you want to hear me being maybe more introspective and annoying, you can check out a new podcast I'm doing called Boring Conversation Anyway with sometimes occasional guest of this podcast, Spencer. We actually just had a discussion about Legion. So if you want a little bit more Legion talk, you can go listen to that. We talk about all kinds of stuff, though. It's a lot of me talking about my mental crisis. it seems like this podcast became at some point about my health crisis or our health crises. And this is becoming like Logan slowly descending into madness. So, yeah, well, maybe not madness. Maybe just my brain is collapsing in on itself. Yay, anxiety. So, it's a fun conversation, though. So, go check that out. And like I said, we'll be back next week. So, we'll see you then.
Bye, everybody.
Here's a little ghost for the offering. Yeah, 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 yeah. Here's a truck stop instead of St. Peter's. Yeah, 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 yeah. Mr. Andy Kaufman's gone wrestling. Yeah, yeah.